Art Review from the Point of Systems Theory by Ganapathy Narasimhan. A store of knowledge is termed memory, and this store is built up over a time as an organized form of information. A continual process of learning through comprehension continually updates such a knowledge base, termed the cognitive structure of the mind, the seat of intelligence and discrimination. While comprehension can be defined as grasping mentally, a psychological conceptualization, learning is something more than comprehension. It involves changing or elaborating on what is known already. As more and more is known, more and more remains unknown. The boundaries of knowledge are thus divergent. The index of experience is then directly related to the extent of cognate knowledge applied over the problems of everyday life. When knowledge springs forth into affirmative and ethical action, it is consumed into wisdom. Learning is timeless, knowledge is infinite, and dawning of wisdom rare. The theory of the musical world, which each one of us develops, functions in exactly the same way that a theory of science functions for the scientist. The scientific theory is a summary of experience on the evidence of which the scientist tries to interpret new events and evidence. It is thus the foundation of learning. The theory of music that is developed in the mind has a cognitive structure that is at once analytical and synthetic, while examining the parts it strives to synthesize a whole. For a connoisseur of music, the language of this art is a blend of poetry and mathematics, the one on the level of wholesome synthesis, and the other on that of inquiry and analysis. The emerging musical environment can thus be perceived and interpreted in the light of the totality of the cognitive structure, and this could make sense. Anything that cannot be related thus becomes nonsense, no matter how meaningful it might appear to anyone else. This is perhaps the reason why there exists a substantial divergence of opinion on aesthetic perceptions experienced by many in the field of art. The nature of the cognitive structure of the mind varies widely, depending upon whether the aesthete is a dilettante, connoisseur, critique, or performer. When a musician performs, it represents his knowledge in action, honed by the skills he has developed over the years. Thus, its appeal to the heterogeneous audience is necessarily non-uniform. Music critics, as reviewers of concerts, form a necessary component in contemporary mix of audiences. Under ideal conditions, an informed and impartial critic presents his impressions without bias or predisposition. In such cases, the impressions have a direct bearing on the performer and the audience alike. The performer, while appreciating the favorable comments, would also benefit by his critical assessment, which would appropriately temper his future performances, either in form, content, or quality. As regards the bulk of the audience, such impressions in written and published form would act as an educational aid so that they can improve their musical knowledge and in due course would come to appreciate the art at heightened aesthetic and intellectual levels. In fact, one of the primary responsibilities of the performer and the critic is to elevate the sensibility of the lay audience to a degree that would reflect on their cultural ethos. There exists a third kind of music lovers to whom the published reviews are also directed. These are the ones who missed the concert. In this exercise, the reviews reflecting the critic's musical knowledge and his verbal skills impinge on the absentee music lover's own musical knowledge and literary skills and create some degree of vicarious sensations. The question is, how far could these sensations be a substitute to those that would have been experienced had they been present for the concert? The answer is a very poor substitute indeed. For one thing, reading a review and experiencing the real thing are events at substantially different levels of sensory experiences, exactly similar to eating a recipe instead of the dinner. The second effect is that the impressions put down by the critic eventually reach the absentee aesthete through two sets of attenuation levels, in respect of language and musical knowledge. Even if the degree of authenticity is high at each stage, at 0.8 for example, the final signal strength drops to 0.4. Such a result is but a blurred shadow of the original. Art reviews have thus a threefold impact on the performer, the listener, and the absentee aesthete. Let us now discuss a very realistic situation that exists in contemporary art world when an unhealthy nexus exists between the performer and the critic. This can be seen when both the performer and the critic often meet socially before the concert, and a tacit agreement reached under which the reviews almost always tend to be couched in cloying, adulatory passages. Please read the article for the theory.